This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. The Department of Transportation has released details on the initial 90-day waiver from the requirement for agricultural and livestock haulers to obtain electronic logging devices. The 90-day waiver began Monday and allows the agency time to further examine an exemption request while developing additional guidance for agricultural haulers. In September, Farm Bureau, National Pork Producers Council, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and five other livestock, aquaculture, and beekeeping organizations petitioned DOT for a waiver and limited exemption from the ELD mandate for drivers who haul livestock, live fish, and insects. On Monday, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's ELD mandate went into effect except for those transporting agricultural commodities and livestock. Those haulers were granted an initial 90-day waiver from compliance. Most farmers and ranchers should be exempt from the ELD mandate because they can claim covered farm vehicle status. Those who cannot claim CFV status will be able to take advantage of the 90-day waiver, which waives the ELD mandate for those transporting agricultural commodities, livestock, fish, and insects through March 18th. Drivers operating under the waiver must carry a copy of the notice and present it to motor carrier safety enforcement officials upon request. In addition, any carriers operating under the waiver must notify the FMCSA within 5 business days of any accident. Donald J. Trump, the 45th President of the United States, will address farm and ranch families from across the nation at the American Farm Bureau Federation's 99th Annual Convention, January 5th through 10th in Nashville, Tennessee. The American Farm Bureau Federation is honored to host our nation's president, according to AFBF President Zippy Duvall, a beef and poultry farmer from Georgia. President Trump has said all along that he would make sure agriculture has a seat at the table when it comes to the top issues facing America's farmers and ranchers. Now, it is our privilege to reserve a spot for him at our podium. Duvall considers President Trump's announced speech as a sign of the high regard in which the nation's chief executive holds America's farm and ranch families. The Healthy, Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010, signed by President Barack Obama in late 2010, reauthorized funding for school lunch programs. A key piece of the legislation that has churned the dairy industry ever since was the limitation on milk served to non-fat white and flavored milk, or 1% white milk. By 2012, low-fat flavored milk was no longer an option in the school meal programs. Recent legislation and an interim final rule seek to reverse this trend by allowing schools to offer low-fat flavored milk in addition to the current offering of fat-free flavored milk to participants in the federal school lunch and breakfast programs through the 2018-2019 school year. In November, the Illinois Department of Agriculture announced that due to a change in the product label for the 3-dicamba-containing herbicides allowed for use on dicamba-resistant soybeans, all certified private applicators in Illinois or those applying these products under their supervision must attend a qualified dicamba training session this winter. Prior to applying these products in the 2018 growing season, applicators must complete dicamba or auxin-specific training. Labels for affected products may be viewed using by going to ifca.com/Illinois dicamba training/resources. Various Illinois agricultural groups work to facilitate nearly 60 free 90-minute training opportunities around the state this winter. These trainings will assist applicators in meeting the enhanced training requirement and will provide a certificate of completion of the training needed for certified applicator record keeping. Advanced registration is required. Please visit ifca.com/Illinois dicamba training to find a venue near you. And in other news, we take pleasure in answering thus prominently the communication below, expressing at the same time our great gratification that its fateful author is numbered among the friends of the Sun. Dear Editor, I am 8 years old, Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Signed, Virginia O'Hanlon. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant, in his intellect as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus, but even if you did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that is no sign there is no Santa Claus. The real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not, but that's no proof that they are not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are unseen and unseeable in the world. You tear apart the baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside, but there is a veil covering the unseen world which not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived could tear apart. Only faith, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. Is it all real? Ah, Virginia, in all this world there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives and lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. Francis B. Church's editorial, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, was an immediate sensation and went on to become one of the most famous editorials ever written. It first appeared in the New York Sun in 1897, over 100 years ago, and was reprinted annually until 1949, when the paper went out of business. 36 years after her letter was printed, Virginia O'Hanlon recalled the events that prompted her letter. She said, "Quite naturally, I believed in Santa Claus, for he had never disappointed me. But when less fortunate little boys and girls said there wasn't any Santa Claus, I was filled with doubts. I asked my father, and he was a little evasive on the subject. It was a habit in our family that whenever any doubts came up as to how to pronounce a word or some question of historical fact was in doubt, we wrote to the question and answer column in the Sun. Father would always say, if you see it in the Sun, it's so, and that settled the matter. Well, I am just going to write the Sun and find out the real truth, she said to her father. He said, go ahead, Virginia, I'm sure the Sun will give you the right answer as it always does. And so Virginia sat down and wrote her parents' favorite newspaper. Her letter found its way into the hands of a veteran editor, Francis P. Church. Son of a Baptist minister, Church had covered the Civil War for the New York Times and had worked on the New York Sun for 20 years, most recently as an anonymous editorial writer. Church, a sardonic man, had for his personal motto, "Endeavor to clear your mind of cant." When controversial subjects had to be tackled on the editorial page, especially those dealing with theology, the assignments were usually given to Church. Now he had in his hands a little girl's letter on a most controversial matter, and he was burdened with the responsibility of answering it. "Is there a Santa Claus?" the childish scrawl in the letter asked. At once, Church knew that there was no avoiding the question. He must answer, and he must answer truthfully. And so he turned to his desk and he began his reply, which was to become one of the most memorable editorials in newspaper history. Church married shortly after the editorial appeared. He died in April 1906, leaving no children. Virginia O'Hanlon went on to graduate from Hunter College with a Bachelor of Arts degree at age 21. The following year, she received her master's from Columbia, and in 1912, she began teaching in the New York City school system, later becoming a principal. After 47 years, she retired as an educator. Throughout her life, she received a steady stream of mail about her Santa Claus letter, and to each reply, she attached an attractive printed copy of the church editorial. Virginia O'Hanlon Douglas died on May 13, 1971, at the age of 81, in a nursing home in Volity, New York. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.